This morning, as you can tell, we're talking a lot about Mary. And to be specific this morning, we're going to talk about Mary's faith. Turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And Lauren, we are going to read Luke today. That'll be good. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." When Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who was to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. As we look in the pages of the Word of God this morning, we see that the New Testament opens with a great deal of excitement and activity. It's been over 400 years since Malachi penned the last lines of his prophecy under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. With the closing of the Old Testament Scripture, there was a long period of silence. But now, after more than 400 years, there were about to be some significant and magnificent proclamations. Suddenly, angels begin appearing to people, telling them about the birth of the forerunner of Christ, and then about Christ Himself. Excitement hardly conveys what was going on in the minds and hearts of these servants of the Lord. And then we see the passage from which we read this morning. It's the record of the announcement from Gabriel to Mary. As we read through the lines, we begin to wonder what all was going on in Mary's mind as she's hearing these words. Was she afraid? Was she excited? Was she astonished? Perhaps all the above. The words of Gabriel to Mary would indicate that he sensed her level of fear and uneasiness. Yet by the end of his visit, Mary has accepted his words and states, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." We move ahead through the next few months through the trip to Bethlehem and the birth in the manger. Angels appear and praise God for the birth of his son, and the shepherds visit the stable and worship the newborn king. And throughout all this, we have Mary doing what is said to us in Luke chapter 2, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. This morning, we're going to take a look at Christmas through the eyes of Mary. We're going to listen to her words and hear her voice as she discusses this great thing that the Lord has done. I believe the story of Mary provides us with some important lessons for our lives today. As we begin to look at this passage, I want to point out a number of important lessons for us to learn. First of which is simply, no matter who you are, the Lord can use you. Look with me again at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." As we see these verses, I want you to consider a few facts about Mary. And this was interesting to me. Mary was young. We're told that Mary was espoused or engaged to be married. At that time, it was customary for girls to be engaged at 12 or 13 years of age. So it's very possible that Mary could have been as young as 12 or 13 when Gabriel visited her. Now, think about the 12 and 13-year-old girls that you know. Very young. Very young. Oh, how important it is to see that you do not have to be old to serve God. God uses teenagers. And we know this here at Crossroad Christian Fellowship. A lot more than a lot of other churches do. We do our Awana program, and if it weren't for our teenagers, it would not happen. It just would not happen. And I praise God for our teens. There's not an age requirement to be used of God, just a heart requirement of being sensitive and willing to be used of Him. Mary was poor. In the latter half of Luke chapter 2, we find that Mary and Joseph take baby Jesus to the temple. This was in keeping with the commandments of the law. Following the law, the parents were to bring a lamb for a burnt offering and a dove or a pigeon for a sin offering. But if a lamb was too expensive, the parents could bring a second dove or pigeon instead. And this is what Mary and Joseph did. It shows us that they were poor. Mary was from Nazareth. Now, a number of years ago here in Ellijay, in East Ellijay, it was right after World War II, East Ellijay wanted to merge with Ellijay. And the folks in Ellijay, the powers that be there, said, we don't want you folks from the other side of the track over here with us. You don't need to be a part of our town. Then, many years passed, a highway named 515 went through, and Walmart came to be. And then Walmart got bigger and bigger and moved to a new location, and Ellijay came to the powers that be at East Ellijay and said, we would like for our two towns to merge. And East Ellijay said, sorry. That's just a little history lesson from here in Gilmer County. But Mary was from Nazareth. And in that day and time, that was considered the wrong side of the tracks. It seemed that Nazareth was a town with a bad reputation. When Nathanael heard that Jesus came from Nazareth, he was stunned. Nathanael was one of the disciples. He wondered aloud, can there anything good come out of Nazareth? That's John chapter 1, verse 46. Then Jesus told him things only he and God could know. And that kind of changed Nathanael's attitude there a little bit. Mary was young, poor, and from Nazareth. All characteristics that for the people of her day would make her seem unusable by God for any major task. But God chose Mary for one of the most important acts of obedience He has ever demanded of anyone. Mary's story teaches us first that no matter who you are, the Lord can use you. You may feel that your ability, experience, or education makes you an unlikely candidate for God's service. But don't limit what God can do with you. He can use you if you'll only trust Him. And trust me, I never imagined that I would be here preaching at a church. Out of all the women he could have chosen, queens, princesses, daughters of the wealthy and influential, God chose a poor teenager from a town with a bad reputation to be the mother of Jesus. Throughout the centuries, many have wondered, why did God choose Mary to be the mother of Jesus? I believe that part of the reason why God chose Mary had to do with her character. She had two vital characteristics for which God is looking: humility and faith. And God is still searching for humble people who will simply trust Him by faith. We also see a second truth concerning Mary this morning. No matter what problems we face, the Lord is with us. As Gabriel visits Mary, she is understandably startled at His presence. He quickly tells her to fear not. Yet we would not blame Mary if she were afraid. Gabriel has just told her some unusual news. She's going to give birth to the Messiah. She, a virgin, will conceive and give wonderful words. She, a virgin, will conceive and give birth to the one that will save His people from their sins. These are truly wonderful words. But they also brought several possible reactions from those around her. And I want you to take this in. This is where Mary is at this point in time. There was the possibility that Joseph would divorce her. There was the possibility that her family would reject her. It's interesting to note that we never read anything concerning the reaction from either Joseph's or Mary's parents. Perhaps they did not believe the miracle that had taken place. There was almost certain rejection by her community. Imagine the gossip that must have circulated Nazareth. The people of Nazareth would have accused her of adultery, a sin that was not looked on lightly as it is today. It's likely that Mary was shunned by those who had once been her friends. And there was the possibility of death by stoning. The message from the angel totally changed Mary's life. She was getting ready to be married and to live a normal life, but now her life would be anything but normal. How could she be calm and courageous as she faced all the problems that her pregnancy might cause? Remember the words, the angel's words to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The Lord is with you. The Lord would be with her. He would help her. He would give her the strength and courage to face what lay ahead. Mary's story teaches us that no matter what problems you face, the Lord is with you. One of the most comforting promises of Scripture is the promise of God's continual presence with His people. Psalm 118:6. Is that on there, Mike? Yeah, here we go. The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? And then on in Hebrews 13, verse 5, the end of verse 5, it says, "For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you." Mary faced the possibility of rejection from Joseph, her family, her community, and even the possibility of being stoned. But she knew that the Lord would never abandon her. One of the titles given to Jesus was Emmanuel, which means God with us. What problems are you facing today? God's with you. Whatever it is, God's with you right through it. Never forget that. Put your faith in the Lord, who is always with you. Finally this morning, I want you to see that no matter how impossible it seems, the Lord can do it. The Lord can do it. The birth of Jesus to a virgin is a miracle that many people find hard to believe. These three facts hopefully can help us in our faith. You know, the writer Luke was a medical doctor, and he knew perfectly well exactly how babies are made. Okay? It would have been just as hard for him to believe in a virgin birth as it is for us, yet he reports it as fact. Luke was a painstaking researcher who based his gospel on eyewitness accounts. Tradition holds that he talked with Mary about the events he recorded in the first two chapters. This was Mary's story that he recorded, not a fictional invention. Christians and Jews who worship God as the creator of the universe should have no doubt that God has the power to create a child in a virgin's womb. Several stories of miracle babies can be found in Scripture. God promised to send a son to Abraham and Sarah, even though Sarah was well beyond normal childbearing age. And so Isaac was born. Now, how old was he, Sharon? How old was Abraham? Yeah. Sarah was 90. Whew. Now, that's a miracle. In Judges 13, an angel of the Lord told Manoah and his barren wife that they would have a special son. True to the angel's words, Samson entered the world and for a time delivered the Israelites from the oppression of the Philistines. Samuel, the first prophet, final judge, and anointer of kings, also demonstrated in his birth the power of God. He was the answer to the faithful prayers of his godly mother, Hannah. John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth, was also unable to have children until God graciously intervened and made her the mother of the forerunner of Christ. That was John the Baptist. But none of those special births was as amazing as the birth of Jesus Christ. His birth was a virgin birth. When we talk about the virgin birth, we mean that Jesus was conceived in the womb of His mother Mary by a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit and without a human father. We read in Galatians 4, verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Notice that the verse does not say Jesus was born of a woman and a man. This further proves His virgin birth and His sinlessness. Mary's story teaches us that no matter how impossible it seems, the Lord can do it. Even though the gospel's news was unbelievable, Mary believed it. Folks, we must admit that all these centuries later, Jesus' miraculous conception remains impossible to understand by human reason alone. But the real issue is whether we believe that nothing is impossible for God. The prophet Jeremiah declared, "Ah, sovereign Lord, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for You." Certainly a miracle such as the virgin birth is not too hard for the God who created the universe and everything in it. Anyone who says that a virgin birth is impossible is just confessing his or her own unbelief. Their unbelief in the God of miracles. But just why is the virgin birth important? Because it shows that salvation must come from the Lord. If Jesus was born of a woman and a man, then those parents could have the bragging rights that says, "Look, my son saved the world apart from God." And that was not the case. Just as God had promised that the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15 would ultimately destroy the serpent, so God brought it about by His own power, not through mere human effort. The virgin birth of Christ is an unmistakable reminder that salvation can never come through human effort, but must be the work of God Himself. Our salvation only comes about through the supernatural work of God, and that was evident at the very beginning of Jesus' life when He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, not by a man. Mary knew that a virgin birth is impossible, but she also believed that nothing is impossible with God. Elizabeth said to her, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." That's Luke chapter 1, verse 45. So what seems impossible in your life today? And I know there are things in our lives that do seem impossible sometimes. Don't they, Isaac? They seem impossible sometimes. I saw the front page of the paper this week. That's awesome. Remember, nothing is too difficult for Him. No matter who you are, the Lord can use you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's." We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ so we can do the good things that He planned for us long ago. Don't ever forget that. I mean, we've talked to teens this through the years. You're God's masterpiece. You're a unique creation of God, and you're special. None of you are useless in God's eyes. No matter what problems you face, the Lord is with you. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, it says, "So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." In regards to our church moving forward, Ron said it 2 weeks ago. It's going to be hard work. It won't be easy. But it will be worth it. Our situation is not hopeless. Finally, no matter how impossible it seems, the Lord can do it. Because His power is limitless. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6 says, "He, Jesus, gave His life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time." So what does God want you to do? I know some of you in here have come forward and said, "I want to do this," because God's leading you in that direction. Some of you are involved in ministries that are ongoing, and God has led you through that ministry and reached many people. God has something that He wants you to do. Simply trust Him and let Him bring it to pass. At this time, we would ordinarily be given an invitation, but today we're going to do something special, and Les is going to come up, and I'll just let him explain it. Come ahead, Les.
This is a grown-up Christmas list that was compiled by Miss Jean Wheeler's sixth grade class at Gilmer Middle School after listening to the song "My Grown-Up Christmas List," and I tried to narrow it down as best I could, but there are just so many that just tug at your heartstrings. Let me share a few with you. Our grown-up Christmas list: that jail was never needed, for my mom not to smoke, for the lost to get saved so that they can live a happy life in heaven, to find my birth parents, for my dog to come back. And, you know, that's a big one when you're a kid. To see the rest of my family, for my dad to stop drinking. And before I continue, just take notice of how many of these are about dads or absent dads. So if you're a dad out there this morning, you don't realize how big an influence you have just by being there. You know, I read a quote one time that said 80% of success is simply showing up. Well, 80% of fatherhood is simply being there. You don't have to have money. You don't have to take them and do all these great things. Just be there as a dad. That my parents would stop fighting, to see my dad, for my brother to be nice to me and quit using my walls as his art canvas. They must share a room. That no animals would be mistreated. That my dad wouldn't have had his brain tumor and he would get better. For everyone to have a Christmas tree and a present underneath the tree. That my family wasn't poor. That my dad comes back from Guatemala. For everyone to have a home and food. My dad is my life, so I want him to be there so I can enjoy my family. For kids to stop talking back to their teachers. For people to stop making fun of others. And the list goes on. For people in my family to stop using drugs, to have a better economy, for everyone to celebrate Christmas as a family, to be appreciated for who I am, a cure for cancer, to have my dad care about me and come back. I want a chance to meet my dad. For God to come back again, for my mom to come back, for my aunt to survive cancer, for my parents to understand me, for my brother to treat me with respect, dad with my family this Christmas, that my dad wouldn't work all the time, that my grandmother would lose weight so we could play together, for my dad to get his license back, for people to not have wars and just get along, for military people to get to see their families this Christmas, for kids to stop having to go through their mom and dad's divorce problems, for those people who don't believe in God to find Him, for the people who get bullied to find a way to stand up to the bully, for my family to be like it needs to be, that my real dad would pay child support, for child abuse to stop, for my uncle not to go back to jail, for me and my sister to spend some time together, that my dad could come home from work early so that we could spend more time together, that pollution would stop, for my dad to come back, for my brother to get closer to me, to see my real dad for Christmas, and this is the one that really got to me, to see my real dad for Christmas, and to see if he loves me. For a family that would go to church and be nice, for Papa to be happy in heaven, for everyone to believe in God, for my grandma to fight breast cancer, to help my dad and other mom to get rid of the roaches that won't go away. For my cat to find her home and survive through the winter. To have clean clothes. For my mom to stop getting sad about my sister's death this past summer. That we would not have to sell our house. To help people remember Jesus' birthday. For people to read the Bible, for racism to stop, for older family members to live a little longer. And that one hits hard as I'm about to attend my grandma's funeral after the service today. For someone that I can trust and for the ability to trust, for a mother who loves me, that I wouldn't have ADHD anymore. For my mom and dad to stop hating me, for a family, for everyone to keep God in their lives and let Him shine, for everyone to know the true meaning of Christmas, joy to the world. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, we want to thank You for the time together here and worship You. Thank You for this body of believers that's such a blessing to each other. Thank You for this church, Lord, and all that You do in and through it. And may You help us be a light unto the community. And Lord, speaking of community, it's obvious by this Christmas wish list that there are a lot of kids and families with issues and struggles and heartache out there in our community. And God, we pray that You would just lift them up this Christmas season. May their needs be met and may they have the most wonderful Christmas that these kids have had to date, Lord. And God, if there's someone out there, and there's probably someone in everybody's life, whether it's a family member or a friend or a co-worker or a casual acquaintance, whatever the case may be, there's probably someone, Lord, that we could all help. And just show us the way, Lord, to extend grace and mercy and kindness and show your love this Christmas to someone, Lord. And it's not always easy offering help. It can be a tricky situation, Lord. And it's not always easy asking for help, God. But just give us the words and the actions to help someone this Christmas, Lord. And God, I just want to take a moment to pray for my family as we attend the funeral of my grandmother after the service here, Lord. I want to pray that every word that would be said today would be a comfort to the family, and that even though it'll be sad, Lord, that the funeral would be a celebration of her life. And thank you for Granny, Lord, and thank you for all the years that we had with her, for the morals and the values and the life lessons that she taught each and every one of us, her kids, her grandkids, her great-grandkids. She had a hand in raising us all, Lord. And she really brought us up in your way, in your truth, in your light. God, thank you most of all for your Son Jesus, his birth, his crucifixion and death, the price that he paid. And that's the only way it could be paid, Lord. He paid the ultimate price, and there was only one way, and that was through the blood of Jesus Christ. And thank you for the hope and the certainty that we have, that we will see our loved ones again, and there will be a blessed reunion day. Thank you for the certainty that the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty this morning. In his sweet and precious holy name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.